Hey, it's Kelly here. Thanks for joining us. Once you're finished listening, I'd like to invite you to join our free private practice community, where you can connect with over 10,000 therapists just like you and get access to over 15 hours of free trainings, including some that qualify for CEs. Visit our website at zinnyme.com and click community at the top of the page. We'll see you there. Welcome to the podcast. We're doing a part two of our series on burnout and therapists in private practice.
Today, we're going to be talking about how your clinical outcomes are tied to your feelings of burnout and how we can lean into information we glean from clinical outcome conversations to both reconnect us to the work as well as give us some very good indicators of areas where we might want to make adjustments or create some boundaries and create some shifts. So instead of giving you like kind of a, here's what everybody should do, here's your first step in general for burnout, we want to help you identify what you need in particular to make shifts and changes in terms of your clinical work.
I think for me, I'd never had a lot of training on how do you know therapy's working? And I find this to be the case with a lot of therapists. Therapists that we've worked with who have been therapists for 30 plus years. There is sometimes a sense of, am I doing enough? Is this really working? There's questions about when are we done with treatment with a client? Of course, everyone has different modalities and perspectives on that. But overall, I'm going to say a broad sweeping stroke of there is this sense of, am I enough? And then add into that, that plays, feeds into the burnout cycle. Because if you're already tired and resentful, that does show up in your clinical work, right? That your state influences the state of your client and vice versa. And then if you're, then you're starting to say like, oh, is this really working? If you have poor boundaries, if you're seeing too many clients, things may be starting to crumble and then it gets interpreted as, I don't know if I'm a good enough therapist, when really we're, you're a burnt out therapist and we need to look at what's happening clinically that could be shifted.
And I think this is, it's an interesting piece. Like I go back and I try to get clarity as to when I started learning this lesson in particular. It definitely wasn't in graduate school that they talked about clinical outcomes. You know, they talked about specialization, but they didn't talk about how do you know that therapy is working beyond just somebody says, okay, I'm ready to be done with therapy. And then you go, okay, you know, you be done with therapy.
Do you think it's when you first heard Scott Miller or read a Super Strength?
It was before Scott Miller, honestly. It was before Scott Miller that the conversation started happening. I think maybe it was a little bit connected to the EMDR work and training. Where we started talking about subjective units of distress scale and trying to get some sense of is someone's distress about this trauma, is that the piece? And I think there was also something in there with EMDR, part of the training was about helping somebody identify what's the new way of being that you want to, like, what's that new schema or script that you want to run when these things happen in your life. And so there was something about that that did translate into my work, whether I was doing EMDR or not. So there was something there in terms of that. But then I think when I started hearing more about Scott Miller, but it was more of a validation of it. I feel like even in terms of my like conversation and scripting for private practice, and I started saying like, hey, we're going to like have conversations about whether this is working and we're going to change something if it's not working. I feel like that happened before I ever met.
Yeah, that I was taught, you know, even in from an analytic psychodynamic background, it is, I just kind of intuitively, but I also had a supervisor and maybe I was paying for case consultation and there was this kind of ongoing checking in and using material from past into current sessions and really understanding, you know, what's the dynamic here? Is this still beneficial for both? So it was a little less structured.
You know what? Actually, it's so funny. I love it. I hope it's okay. Like this just, this one moment actually just popped into my mind that I think is really pivotal for me. I was working with this client and the client wanted to look at their case notes. And so I talked with my clinical supervisor at the time and she said, well, you know, having a copy of the whole clinical notes for this client and having them take out a session doesn't make sense. And at that point we didn't even, this is pre-HIPAA guys. So it wasn't even like, oh, you just make a copy and move on. She said, why don't you make this a part of the clinical treatment where the person comes in and reads their notes in session and you guys talk through it. And so we sat and did that. And it was really amazing to me how the client like suddenly was aware of, oh, wow, I forgot I felt that way. That is what I look like. That is how I felt at the beginning of treatment. I didn't even realize how much I had shifted until I remembered what therapy looked like at the beginning.
Sort of like what we're talking about with the journals last time about in boot camp, about how people don't even realize that they're burnt out until they look at this video and they're like, oh, I forgot.
And this is the same. It's like the snapshot of, I hate the idea of before and after pictures.
Right.
Maybe we think about like a space, right? Of your like, you know, your dining room or what have you. Like that this is like a snapshot of like, this is what life looked like before therapy. And now whether it's midway or after, wow, this is how much things have shifted. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the things that we're going to be teaching in our masterclass is giving people a script on exactly how to have these outcomes conversations because they're so, so powerful. And this is one of the questions that we have people go into is like, do you remember, right? Asking the client, do you remember what you felt like before your first therapy session? What did your life look like then? And then comparing it to now. And there's some magic that happens in those conversations.
And what's funny is that a lot of therapists avoid these conversations. So when you're burnt out and frustrated and you start feeling shame and guilt for that, we kind of brace, right? We freeze. Then you add on top of that a pandemic and everything else, right? And it's sort of like, I don't want to know. I'm just going to assume that I'm not great or like this isn't working, but I don't really want to know. But instead, we find that when we practice the vulnerability, the same kind of vulnerability that we ask of our clients, there's a synergy and an opportunity to deepen the work. And that re-energizes not only you, but also the client.
Yeah. And it's really fascinating. And I think it doesn't just re-energize the client, but I've had the experience. And now that we've been able to share this process with thousands of therapists from around the world, they say the same thing. Wow, the client lit up. Mm-hmm. They suddenly saw their own before and after, you know, in terms of what their life looks like. They now actually see the benefits of therapy in even more clarity, not because I'm like priming them or I'm manipulating them into seeing it, but just because they're having a moment to stop and like really look at life. And then you can have a conversation about like, and then what would it look like if we were done too? Which again is, I think, an area where therapists are really fearful of. And so sometimes that means clients stay in therapy longer than they need to, or the therapy gets kind of stale because you kind of, there was all this progress made at the beginning and then you kind of lose track of.
There's missed opportunities for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of power in that. But clients, our therapists come back from these conversations and say, oh my gosh, I feel re-energized and reinvigorated.
I didn't think I was helping, but maybe I am, and I'm clear on how and what is helping. And sometimes even getting what we consider negative feedback, mm-hmm. it actually can help the therapist be empowered to make shifts and to be more collaborative with the client in making a change. Because that's the other piece, is when we are, when we don't refer out, when we don't change the treatment because we're so overwhelmed and burnt out, it does not feel good. Again, that it's kind of that self-feeding cycle of burnout. It just amplifies and gets worse. And to break out of that is to say, okay, this isn't working. What if we shift it? That brings in a lot more creativity and space for shift for both you and the client, whether that be referring out or them staying.
Yeah, it could be that you refer them out. It could be that they recommit to actually like doing the work. Mm-hmm. They start to come in more regularly. Like, how irritating is it to have like people canceling constantly and not being able to get into a rhythm with it? It could be that you get real clarity on, wow, we're ready to dig into this issue, when maybe you felt like you were spinning your wheels and now suddenly you're aligned and you know where things are going, mm-hmm. and they know where things are going. It's just, it's a magic thing. And I think it is magical for therapists to know that like you can refer clients out. We just had a boot camper yesterday post and mm-hmm. say, wow, I had this new intake and they gave permission for us to share this, just so you guys know. I had this new intake and normally there was this mismatch. I would have like kept working and trying to like pull teeth with this client, but I, you know what? I gave myself permission to just assess what are their needs and who would really better serve them, mm-hmm. and I referred them out. And they said, before boot camp, I didn't know I could do that. Mm. And it may seem like silly to some of you, but some of you may relate, this idea of really giving yourself full permission at any point in the therapy process to say, wow, we've done some good work and here's the thing. Or, wow, I'm so glad you came in and here's my highest and best. And my highest and best is to send you to this person.
Right. What I like too about the script that we teach and doing these things is that it applies across the board, no matter your licensure type or modality. So like what Miranda was talking about with SUDS and all of that, that's pretty specific to that kind of realm of work, something I would have never encountered in my work. Mm-hmm. But having these conversations and having a tool that you can use the next day in session is applicable to all of us. It's something that we can all easily do and implement. And this is the beauty of this script, is that it is the intersection between business and clinical. We don't believe that working on your business is compartmentalized away from the clinical work. It is tied to, and same with your burnout and who you are. It is all like mushed together in a beautiful creation of yours. And it is important to look at, hey, I'm taking clients that aren't a good fit, or I'm not referring out, or I'm not feeling very confident, right? So these are business practices, right? How we handle our consult call, who we book, how we schedule, how to organize all that. That is a business part of your business plan. But that in turn impacts the clinical work because it's showing up in resentment, frustration, dropout, lack of retention. And when we say lack of retention, we're not saying keeping people just to keep people. We're saying successful treatment outcomes, you know, and getting to the point to where the client has had a transformation. So this script kind of brings it together and says, okay, how am I going to take care of myself? So this is the bubble bath for your business. When we talk about the self-care for burnout, this is how you care for your business and your client at the same time.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And you don't have to do any math. There's no rulers involved. When I was taught the stuff with Scott Miller, you're supposed to like do the stuff with rulers, and I would never do it. And then I tried the software, which was really cool, but again, a whole nightmare to like try to like integrate into a session, especially for someone that's as disorganized as me. So this like conversation, it's so beautiful in how it ties people together. Your client feels better afterwards. You feel better afterwards. And then you have this information that will be teaching you what to do with that in terms of how that can inform what kind of trainings you go to, how that could inform the clinical consultation you could get, how that could inform what your schedule is, how many sessions you really schedule per week. And then that can then inform your fee. It can inform decisions again regarding frequency of treatment. If you find that, like I did when I did this, I found that people that came in on a weekly basis got better outcomes than people that came once or twice a month. And it didn't matter if they came in for, you know, 12 sessions and I was to compare them. I don't do a good job doing therapy with people that come in once or twice a month. I have to own that I didn't get good outcomes with that. So if someone was looking for that, I referred them out. And I was very clear, this is the frequency that works for me. This is the frequency where I get good outcomes. And so you need to, this can give you information even as you have these conversations and maybe even own that. Hey, I noticed that. It seems like we're not getting as much progress because we're constantly just catching up and checking in about what's been happening, but we don't get a chance to like dig into the meat of it. So what if we were to test over the next 4 weeks? You come in regularly, we have weekly sessions, and then let's check in how that feels for those 4 sessions.
I think like this process is just like what we do in therapy. A person comes in and what do? We assess. We're looking for what are their resources, what is working and what isn't. And that's what we want you to do to prevent burnout or mitigate the burnout that you're experiencing. Assess the business and have a conversation with, assess the clinical work, that heart, the purpose, the reason why you do what you do is not so you can do the bookkeeping and the phone calls. It's so you can,
I'm pretty sure.
At least I'll speak for myself.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I'll leave that to my husband. So I think, you know, looking at the clinical work first and saying what is working, what isn't, and then that can inform for me and the client, that can inform how to mitigate the burnout in the business processes, which we'll talk about next week.
Yeah. So if you want to come live, and we're going to delve into this in much more detail, we'll talk about even what to do during the conversation. How do you do this with kids versus adults? What does this look like if you do get negative feedback? How do you integrate that? What should you be like braced and worried about? And what all of that, we'll just like delve into this during that free masterclass. Again, it's eligible for CEs, APA, and MBCC. So go to zinnyme.com/free, ZYNNYME.com. Worst choice ever, but we love it still. Or just check the show notes. And we will
we'll see you
at the masterclass. We got some free giveaways and it's going to be a good time, like legitimately. And there's going to be some amazing juicy conversations inside of our free community. Both before, during, and after. And the community is not on Facebook, so there's no like weird ads happening. No. There's no other stuff. So join us.
We'd love to have you. Be brave with us. Do something good for you. Take care of yourself as a clinician and take care of your business as well. And we can together start to really turn the tide on this burnout stuff.
Yeah. See you there.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Starting a Counseling Practice podcast. We hope you are feeling empowered and have gained new knowledge about yourself and your business. We would love to continue supporting you in our free community for therapists. Just visit classroom.zinnyme.com to join the fun.